Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in with us on this morning. This is Brother Davis standing in for Dr. Youngblood. I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Amen. But I thank God that he supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we're still talking about, amen, times of instability. Things are unstable everywhere we go. I used to hear people say all the time, as I went in different circles, there are only 2 things that are sure in life, and that's death and taxes. Well, that seemed to be very true still yet on today. But as we see other things happening in society, just know and understand that no matter what we see, don't lose heart. Because Jesus told us when he left, he said, I'll go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's speaking to believers, those who will trust in him. And he went on a little bit further in John chapter 15 to say unto all the believers, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. What we need to do on today, we need to keep God's commandments, show the world that we are believers and true believers indeed. Amen. I want to share something with you here on some information. I had a chance to get together before the broadcast from a young man that had something to say. He had a write-up on the instability and ruin of double-minded believers. This is what he had to say. He said, I just finished my challenge to a small group I lead. We are going through the whole Bible in 2021 by studying the 52 greatest chapters of the Bible. This week was extra special. I hope it will challenge your life as it did ours. These are unprecedented days in the life of Christ's church in the world. The COVID-19 pandemic's quarantine, social distancing rules, have led to the most drastic weakening of churches across the world. More services have been canceled, more Bible studies suspended, and more biblical accountability has lapsed than at any other time in modern history. The result is the growth of darkness all around us. Righteousness is being criminalized, and iniquity is being legalized at a faster rate than ever. 1 Kings 18, this is what he drew a parallel to, 1 Kings 18, is the titanic confrontation between the God of this world, the small g God, not the big G, the small g, represented by the prophets of Baal, and the true and living God. Elijah faces off with the people of God who were wavering between God and Baal, and says in 1 Kings 18, 21, and Elijah came near, this is what it says, in the Bible, to all the people and said, how long, in other words, let me change what, because he says, how long will you go limping between 2 different opinions? But the actual King James Version says, how long will ye halt? How long will you stand held up between making the decision between right and wrong, or making the right opinion between serving one God or the other? He said, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. And that comes from the ESV Bible. So listen, let me tell you something. That was a good comparison that the young man used right there to compare the difference between the instability of double-minded believers and the days of persecution that we are in right now, and how even believers, some who call themselves believers, sometimes have trouble making the right decision when it comes down to whether they believe God or whether they want to serve him or not. My friend, this is the reason why I'm here on today. I'm trying to encourage you over and over, because time is of the essence. We don't have as much time as we used to have. And if the Lord tarries, then we're going to either meet him through the rapture or through the grave. But whatever your time is, wherever that might fall, my friend, we challenge you on today and we encourage you, be ready for the soon coming King, because he is on his way coming back. Amen. So I do want to go back to St. Luke chapter 21. That's where we left off before the break. And we were telling you about some of the things that Christ said to his disciples about the last days, the signs that would happen before his second coming. And notice and understand this. The first sign, I don't care if you go to Matthew 24, Luke 21, or Mark chapter 13 and read an account of the same story. It starts off with the first sign, starts off with the same thing. Each sign says, do not be deceived. Deception is the first sign that's going to happen before Christ get ready to return. We see it in our churches. We see it in society. We see it everywhere we go. So my friend, the only way that you won't be deceived is if you're walking in the word of God and allowing him to be your guide. Amen. And he went down further to say in verse number 14, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Look at all these things that the Lord had to say to his followers, his disciples, giving them signs. And I'm talking about telling them the truth. My friend, you must know and understand as a child of God, if you don't take this whole Bible for the truth, then you're going to be deceived. If you're taking parts of it to be the truth and parts of it you're not so sure, I understand. Sometimes if you're a new Christian, this is you have a new walk with him now, you've not been a season in the Lord long enough, then of course I understand that you might have some difficulty. But pray, that's where prayer and Bible reading comes into play. When you pray to God and when you read his word, my friend, you will get all the assurance that you need if you just learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Because the Bible tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I'll tell you on the day, God is a mighty good father. He will never lead his children astray. So trust in him on today if you are a child of God. And verse number 17 says, this is what the Lord had to say, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Notice and understand this. We are seeing this in these days that we are living in. Simply because you call yourself a Christian, they hate you. When you look at this LGBTQ community, they are passing all kind of laws, giving them all kind of rights. And these people hate Christians. But guess what? That's all right. I've already got advance warning that you hate me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to love you with the love of God, and I'm going to pray for you. And I pray that in spite of how you hate me, God will still save you. This should be the standpoint of every Christian, every child of God on today. You don't hate the sinner. You hate the sin. That's the way God looks at it. God does not hate the sinner. He hates the sin. He hates the acts that they are committing. And he does not want them to live their lives in shambles when he have promised them a better life on this side while they live here on the earth, and a better life, a more excellent life when they get over there where he is. So why not enjoy, get the best of both worlds, my friend? If God has promised you these things, get your blessings now, because you have greater blessings in store when you get over there where he is. Amen. Then he went on down to say, this is what he said in verse number 18, giving you a guarantee. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. How much more confidence do you need when God has told you, in spite of all these other things that you have seen are going to take place in this world, in your life? My friend, if you are living in this world, you must know and understand the Bible has to fulfill on somebody. And if you are here, it's going to fulfill on you. The word of God is coming to pass every day. We are living by and through his word. But as a Christian on today, you're also being kept by that same word. And this is why I praise God on today, because he has never failed me yet. He said, not even one hair of your head is going to perish. My friend, catch hold of faith. This is what he's trying to get you to do. But he said in verse number 19, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Stand firm. Trouble is going to come. I hate to see someone, as soon as trouble comes their way, why, God, did it have to happen to me? Ask yourself another question. Why not? Maybe there are some things in your life that God are looking at that he's not pleased with. And sometimes he have to allow trouble to come your way. Trouble, I find out, my friend, I've been through many of them in my lifetime. Trouble will make you pray a little bit more harder. Trouble will make you walk closer with God. Trouble will make you be committed more to God. Trouble will make you read the word of God the more. Trouble will make you love everyone the more. And yes, my friend, last but not least, I found this also out to be true for my own self by experience. God can make friends out of your enemies. Listen, this is the kind of God that we serve on today. He has promised us in his word all these great things. But all we have to do today is hold on to God's unchanging hand. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Another headline I have to share with you on today. A hospital finds an unlikely group opposing vaccinations. It's workers. And I do want to read a little bit of that to you. Says here, the aggressive opposition to the vaccine and even regular testing at a hospital in New York City, the epidemic's one-time epicenter, showed the challenges of reaching the unvaccinated when some of the very people who could serve as role models refuse vaccination. Some medical workers, at Staten Island Hospital are so fiercely opposed that they call themselves the Resistance. This is what they call themselves. After the rebel faction in Star Wars, if you ever saw that movie, then you can connect up with what I'm saying. They are defending what they view as their inherent rights, as their leader is gathering hospital workers from other states in an attempt to create a nationwide movement. Scientists and medical professionals point out that those who refuse vaccines are potentially endangering the lives of patients. Vaccinations are critical to protect our patients, our staff, and protect the general community, said Dr. Mark Jarrett, chief medical officer at Northwell Health, which is the state's largest health care provider and runs Staten Island University Hospital. It's a tough issue, but it's our professional obligation to always maintain that whatever we do, it's for the safety of our patients. He said he is hopeful that imminent federal approval of the Pfizer vaccine will persuade some of the unvaccinated to get shots. As the Delta variant, the highly transmissible version of the coronavirus that now makes up almost all new cases in the United States, drives a surge throughout the country. Public health officials are struggling to boost vaccination rates among frontline medical workers. Among the nation's 50 largest hospitals, 1 in 3 workers who had direct contact with patients had not received a single dose of vaccine as of late May, according to analysis of data collected by the U.S. Department of Health. The Staten Island protest started last Monday when Northwell Health began requiring unvaccinated staff to get weekly coronavirus tests by nasal swab or risk losing their jobs. On the same day, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that all healthcare workers across the state would be required to have at least one dose of the vaccine by September 27th, with limited exceptions for those with religious or medical exemptions. Northwell says that its mandate was put in place to protect patients. A spokesperson said that the company was aiming to get 100% of its staff vaccinated and has used a variety of tactics to nudge hesitant workers, like offering them spa days. Before the pandemic, the hospital system encouraged flu vaccination and required employees who were not vaccinated for flu to wear masks among patients. Some protesters, dismissive of scientific data and wary of mandates they say infringe on their civil rights, say they are willing to lose their jobs. Other workers say that they were considering moving out of state, perhaps to Florida, where hospital requirements are looser and the number of deaths and hospitalizations has steadily risen since June. Across New York, the majority of the state's more than 600,000 healthcare workers are vaccinated, but many are not. To date, 75% of the state's roughly 450,000 hospital workers, 74% of the state's 30,000 adult care facility workers, and 68% of the state's 145,500 nursing home workers have been fully vaccinated, the state said. Modes of persuasion, ranging from free cash to burgers to rides on the MTA, failed to persuade vaccine refusers, leading some hospital systems to take a harsher approach, which in turn has spurred a backlash. Last month, the largest healthcare union in the country held a rally after the New York Presbyterian Hospital System mandated that workers receive at least one shot of the vaccine by September 1st. Participants in a recent focus group at Staten Island University Hospital about how to persuade employees to get vaccinated said they were told by officials that about 60% of the staff had been vaccinated. Northwell Health did not confirm the figure, but said that about 77% of the employees are vaccinated across Northwell's 23 hospitals in the city and state. The de facto leader of the hospital employees is John Matlin, 36, a CT scan technician who is a good friend of Daniel Presti, the manager of Max Public House Bar on Staten Island, which last year gained notoriety for defying virus restrictions. When indoor dining was banned in the area because of high infection rates, the bar continued to serve local customers inside, prompting the police to arrest Presti and to padlock the bar. Maitland has coalesced a community of workers who said they feel singled out because testing is not required. Are still unable to get infected and transmit the virus. Some also argue that they do not need the vaccine because they previously have been infected with the coronavirus. Experts have said that prior to infection does not fully protect people and have advised everyone to get vaccinated. Early data shows that breakthrough infections are rising because of the Delta variant, but experts say that does not mean that the vaccines are ineffective. The available data shows that unvaccinated people are still much more likely to contract COVID-19, while vaccines drastically reduce the risk of hospitalization and death from the virus. Matlin participated in the focus group aimed at understanding what punitive measures could motivate unvaccinated employees to get the shot. The options listed were being docked, paid during leaves of absence, if exposure requires quarantine. That means they're going to dock their pay if they don't come to work. And it says here, and becoming ineligible to participate in employee appreciation barbecues or losing points that staff are allowed to cash in for gift cards and products. Matlin said he chose none of the above. My friend, no matter what's going on with that, I told you on yesterday, make an informed decision. It's up to you whether you want to get the vaccine or not, but make an informed decision. Just know and understand, I saw the numbers here, I think it was on yesterday, that 65 to 75% of the people in Israel have already been vaccinated, and they are the one that makes up the majority of the people who are being hospitalized for COVID. That means they might have had COVID in the first beginning and took the vaccine, yet the vaccine didn't stop them from catching it again. So who do we believe? Who do we trust? What can we trust in? My friend, the best thing you can trust in is God. He is the best one that we can fully put our trust in. Maitland went on to say, even small defections could put a strain on the Staten Island Hospital. Staten Island, a Republican enclave, had the highest rate of hospitalization from COVID-19 of any borough in July. At the ultrasound department, Matlin said, 3/4 of the staff have told him they remained undecided about getting the vaccine. At the radiology department at the hospital's southern campus, Matlin said 4 out of 10 staff are unvaccinated and many will not cave. These people are standing firm. This is hospital staff. These are doctors and nurses that are saying they will not take the jab. Now, for some reason or other, for me, with me knowing that they are medical professionals, and if they are taking a stance on it like that, that raises a question in my mind. What's wrong with that picture? I need to know. So the best thing I know to do is try to get informed. Try to get a hold of the right information that will help me to make an informed decision so that I will know what to do, how to protect my family, how to protect my home, how we should get together and stand together as people of God. This is what we need to do on today. The other thing that Mr. Matlin had to say, losing 4 of us in radiology would cripple the entire department, he says. On Thursday, he was suspended without pay. How sad. After going to bat, trying to encourage everybody that they need to take the shot, he was suspended on Thursday, that was about a week ago, from his job without pay. Nelly DeSilvio, this is another person, 43, a phlebotomist, said that half of the 30 people in her department were unvaccinated. If we all left, this would be huge. We are already short-staffed now. Many workers, understand this, not just this hospital. I've heard reports of many others. Hospital staff walking off the job because they refuse to take the shot, leaving the hospitals in dire straits, already short of help, short of staff, not able to accommodate the patients that are there. This puts them in dire straits. And my friend, we need to know and understand, if we don't learn how to stand firm on today, just like these people did right here, they have a right, just as all of you. You have a right, whether you want to do a thing or not, whether you want to make the decision. But what we're trying to do is to tell you on today, make an informed decision. Don't do it in ignorance. Make sure you understand everything about that thing before you decide on what you're going to do. Sandra Lindsay, this is another person, director of critical care nursing at the hospital on the Queens Long Island border and the first person in the United States to be vaccinated, has been trying to persuade 25 co-workers out of 250 in her department to get the jab. I don't vaccine shame. In other words, you don't. She's saying she don't try to insult anybody. And I don't think that's the right approach. If you want to do it, that's your business. If you don't want to do it, that's still your business. So we don't need to try to shame anybody because of something that they do or don't want to do. So this is what she went on to say. People should have a right to express what they feel, but our profession as healthcare workers is rooted in science, and we should practice what we preach. Although the aversion to vaccination often falls along ideological lines or people's attitudes towards vaccines in general, the influence of the training that healthcare workers receive is overlooked, said Rachel Plitch Loeb, a researcher at New York University who has surveyed unvaccinated health workers. And it goes on and on and on. But my friend, I don't have time to read everything to you on today concerning every headline, but I do want you to know some of what's out there and some of what the Word of God says so that you can make an informed decision. We are living in perilous times, critical times, and if we don't hold on to God's unchanging hand, my friend, then we're going to end up lost. Back to St. Luke chapter 21, going in at verse, I'm just going to pick up or with verse 20. And he spake a parable unto them, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This is what the Lord say. But my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that's overeating, and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. My friend, get yourself prepared. The Lord is on his way coming back. We just want you to be encouraged on today. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. No matter what comes and no matter what goes, God is still in control. He sits high and he looks low. He's got all power in his hands. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be right there to walk with you through your trouble. Put your trust and your hope in God. Thank you kindly, my friends, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Tune in again with us once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.